May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Once upon a time, there were two brothers. Both showed a great talent for running, even when they were toddlers. But one was very good and won most of the races between them when he was small. He always used to beat his brother. Because he could run well, he decided he didn't need to train. It was more fun as he grew up playing computer games and going out with his friends. He thought practicing was a waste of time. The other brother knew that he had to improve his style. He practiced often and regularly. He practiced sprinting, he practiced long distance running, he did exercises to increase his lung capacity and his physical ability. He was seen on the track most nights. His brother said he was wasting his time. But by the time they were in their teens, the brother who had been the best now lagged far behind. He was paying the price for not practicing, not keeping his eyes on what he could do. His brother was now winning competitions and all sorts of prizes. If asked how he became a better runner, he would say, a lot of practice and being willing to dedicate myself to the job. The question in our gospel today is about practice. It's about Sabbath obedience. It's all about what it's right to do on the Lord's Day and what is forbidden. If Jesus had been a campaigner, his campaign against the strict observance of the Sabbath would have been one of his most popular campaigns. Now, we are religious people. We've come to church on a Sunday. You can see we are. We are religious people, and people like us can, it seems to me, to be so negative to others when we talk about Sabbath observance, which in our case is about keeping Sunday special in some way. And yet I know that a lot of us, I've seen you there actually, and a lot of us are not averse to, but you see, that puts me in the same category as you, doesn't it? But we're not averse to going to the newsagent, the garden centre, the DIY shop, even the supermarket or the pub on a Sunday. But then as now, there was a section of religious people who were totally negative about the Sabbath. And their descendants are still with us, not just in Israel, but here too. Their negativity is so strained that even things that would bring you closer to God and were God's will were not permitted. In this gospel, and in other places in the story of his ministry, Jesus speaks with authority. Jesus speaks with authority. He challenges such people's attitude to Sabbath observance. He asks whether it is permitted to heal people on the Sabbath. Those he is challenging, of course, take the literalist view, based on a very narrow understanding of the Ten Commandments, and particularly the commandment about the Sabbath day. And in one of the gospel arguments about the Sabbath, we read that they sat there looking smug with their arms folded. It's an open and shut case. On the Sabbath day thou shalt do no labour. They all knew that from the Jewish equivalent of Sunday school. But that doesn't prevent Jesus from doing what he knows is right. There he is in the synagogue, faced with this poor woman all bent over, who had been unable to straighten herself for 18 years. In full view of the self-assured chairman of the synagogue committee, he healed her and horrified him. He instantly responds to Jesus' challenge. You've got 6 days to do this sort of thing. Don't come here and do it on the Sabbath. But Jesus presses his challenge home. He tells them that they are play-acting at their religion. All of them lead their domestic animals to water to drink every day, Sabbath or not. They do what they have to do. What he had to do was to set this woman free. Not just to drink, but to live. Jesus tells them there is no better day to do this than the Sabbath. This is irrefutable reasoning, but such people will never agree with Jesus. There was an inevitable conflict between Jesus and these literalists. The trouble was, and still is to a certain extent, that the Sabbath then and Sunday now carry so much baggage with them that they have been transformed from the blessing that God intended into a burden to be borne by the faithful. When the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, there was no such thing as time off. At any time, you were at the beck and call of the slave master. And the story in the book of Exodus tells of the extreme harshness of their slavery. But they escaped from Egypt that Passover night, and they were given the Ten Commandments shortly afterwards. And in the Ten Commandments, it is not just the descendants of those slaves now set free, but their servants also, who are given the gift of a day of rest. It was one of the gifts of freedom that God gave to his people, and it's there in the Ten Commandments. But over time, the great mass of detailed rules that had surrounded the Sabbath, and later the great long list of prohibitions that accompanied the Protestant Sunday, tended to make the day a burden rather than a blessing. Sabbath observance is like prayer. It is like fasting. It's like almsgiving. It's like Bible reading and church going. It is a good thing when it is done voluntarily. And it's a bad thing when we are forced to do it. All these things, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, church going, and observing the Sabbath day, are tools in our toolkit, weapons in our armory. They are a means to an end. And the end is a good relationship with God and with others. So when Sabbath observance degenerates into a matter of form and coercion, God is not pleased. But he is pleased that we come here when no law forces us to. He is pleased with us when we do good to others, when there is no obligation to do so. Without any coercion then, let us live loving and trusting lives. For by doing what is right in this way, we will be responding to the gift of freedom that God has given us and using it in the same spirit that he intended, by really placing our hopes in God and showing real compassion to those amongst whom we live. He showed us that the Sabbath is our servant, not our master. Let's do it right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.